Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell with our kicker. Mike, we have a kicker. This guy led the league in field goal percentage the last 3 years. Nick Folks, our new kicker here with the Falcons. I think everybody's wondering, man, you know, you obviously had other opportunities. What made you want to come here?
I enjoyed the staff. I had a good good relationship with Craig and Chase from my time in Tennessee. We had good conversations at that, you know, tampering period and whatnot. And it just kind of was the right fit at the right time. A lot closer to home. My family's in Dallas, so that was a big part of it too. And then when I heard Jake Bailey was coming too, I've had great familiarity, great success with him as my holder. So there was a lot that went into it. You know, get to play inside finally in my career gets to be a good thing too. So there were a lot of it, but I think those were the kind of the big pulling factors to getting me to come to Atlanta.
The feeling is if you could kick, I don't know if it was the same as the old Meadowlands, but MetLife always seems like the conditions are funky there. So how is it like golf? You just stick your finger up, allow for the wind. How does that work?
You kind of you walk out and you get an understanding of what's going on. I try to figure out on both ends what's happening. And that goes like when we were in New England. One end of New England was much trickier than the other. So you had to kind of think it was almost two different stadiums and the same in MetLife. And the way I've kind of approached it in my career is – whatever I feel in pregame and when I'm out there, I kind of just try to trust. Because the one thing I think you don't want to, do is go out there, feel something in pregame, and then be like, oh, the wind's doing this now. And then you just change it on the fly. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think, like, whatever you felt, let's just deal with it. Now, if you know that there's going to be a 180-degree change, then you have to deal with it. But if it's kind of been normal or consistent, then just kind of trust what you felt and play it that way. So, those were tough and tricky places to play, and I'm fortunate now that I get to play inside.
Nick Folk, our kicker here with us on Dukes and Bell. So, dude, you came into the league in 07. Your starting quarterback was a guy named Tony Romo who's on hiatus, and you're still playing right now. How has the league changed?
Oh, man. Well, let's start with training camp. I was telling the guys the other day that, you know, in 07 we had no acclimation period. It was double days from the jump, pads right off the bat. So
you too, right?
Yeah. I mean, and we were kicking twice a day. We were doing all that. And you had joint practice double days. So it was just different. And it's changed in a good way. I mean, it's for the player safety, which I am totally for. But there's a lot. Like, the athletes have gotten bigger, stronger, faster as a whole. Schemes have changed. Coaches are now much younger as a whole too, I think. You know, we got a lot of younger coaches. I think when I came in, it was probably more defensive-minded head coaches, and we were very, like, punt the ball when we're on that fringe field goal range, and now they're like, hey, kick it, because if not, we'll just play good defense and let them have a field goal, and then we'll go score a seven, you know? So there's a lot of things that have changed. I mean, I could talk hours about how the kicking game has changed. Like, look at the kickoff now. That's changed a bunch. We were kicking from the 30 back then. You could do whatever you want. Now we're kicking from the 35 with a totally new formation. So it's all changed. I think they're trying to change this game for the better to make it – to keep the excitement there and then for the safety of the players, because that is – I mean, if we're not healthy and safe, then this game doesn't really have much going on.
Nick Folk is with us, guys. 12th Carl all-time field goals made in the NFL going into this season with the Falcons. So what does a special teams coach do with you? Because obviously it's the most solitary position in all of sports. It's also considered probably the most mental, like keeping your head right. So how does a kicker practice?
I've got kind of my routine. I understand what I need to do to get warm, number one. That's kind of first part of practice for me, is just get loose, do my stretching, do my light kicking stuff.
Does that start with an Egg McMuffin?
No, does not sound negative about
it. Okay, I'm just curious. Go ahead. I
mean, that sounds really good, but no, it does not.
Okay, go ahead.
And then from there, I'll kind of work my way back and kind of just off the sticks, and I'll work on my particular things I need to work on for the day, whatever that might be. And then I'll get some snap hole kicks. We'll kick in the period. And then whatever else Craig or Chase need me to work on as far as any kicking off, any specialty kicks we have to do, on sides, we'll talk through that and work through it. But they're really good and about kind of letting me stay in my lane and let me do my thing so that I can get ready to perform the best I need to do, A, every practice, and B, getting ready for the season. So they're great about it. And it can be lonely at times, but you got to enjoy yourself. You got to enjoy your thoughts, and then be around your teammates, be around there, be in the weight room, be in the locker room, and be around the guys. And I think that's a big part of it. If you can kind of assimilate into the team, then they'll have your back no matter what.
Now, for those of you who have never seen Nick Folk, he's not a small guy.
Right.
So I'm wondering, like, you walk in the weight room, sit down, young buck, and you start pumping the iron and just showing him what to do?
I used to do that. Not anymore. Now I'm a little more calculated in how I do things. But I enjoy the weight room a lot. I it's kind of a little bit of my happy place. I can kind of let some energy out in there and get some good work in. So I'm about to go hit the gym here in a little bit and work on that.
I know you're a big soccer fan. You played soccer. Your brother played soccer. So first things first, what happened to Germany? Secondly, what do you think about the World Cup? How much fun? We had a blast covering it. How much fun was it for you as a guy that knows the sport?
The World Cup was amazing. I got to come back. I brought my wife and kids. We came to the semifinal here. It was awesome. What a great experience. I got to go to the World Cup final in 94 in the Rose Bowl with my dad. I was 9 years old. I remember it like to this day, so I wanted to give my kids that opportunity. It was awesome. It was a great summer of soccer, especially being in Dallas for the most of it. You know, we got to go to some watch parties and go do some things, and my kids they're actually in Brazil right now. They just finished a tournament playing down there. So we travel the world with them. And then as far as Germany, I hope they're on the right track now. They have kind of dropped the ball the last bunch of tournaments, but I think that whole country and federation knows that they need a change.
Right.
And I'm hoping they make their for the right reasons and do the right thing. And then kind of the same with the U.S. I think the U.S. is kind of heading the right way. There's still, I think, too many hands in the pot here to make it not work. And I'm praying that we can get it turned around because we got a lot of good young talent coming through the pipeline. Like there was a 15-year-old that was just signed with FC Dallas to the professional team. So we got a lot of it, but hopefully they can turn it around.
And that's the thing, Nick, since you have kids that are in the program, Nick Folk with us on Dukes of Bell, since you have kids that are playing youth soccer, that seems to be the issue, the pipeline, getting those kids as opposed to the rest of the world where they seem to have a system and we don't necessarily have that or it's too cost prohibitive.
Yeah, and you look at, let's just use England, for example. The City of London probably has the same amount of professional clubs as all of MLS across the entire United States.
Yep.
So, you know, most MLS clubs have an academy system where their top team for each age group is probably free or very low cost to get in. But then everyone else has to pay. Well, when you have 30 teams in one city, like DFW, we could have six professional teams. And there's more coming on with the USL and stuff. So I think we're just a little bit behind because it wasn't our primary sport, but now a lot of kids are in it. I mean, you saw the success fans came from all over and they enjoyed it. I think we're a great host nation. I think the American people did a great job embracing all the cultures from around coming in. And so I think we're on the right track. I'm hoping we can turn it around quicker than we have been, but you can see the talent we put out, you know, playing in top levels in Europe and, you know, starting here for a lot of top teams in the MLS. So I think we're not far. It's just going to take a little bit more time.
All right, before we let you go, I want you to take me and our audience through a field goal. 5 seconds on the clock. Field goal! Nick, let's go, Nick! You run out there. What's the process? So when I'm watching and it's an away game, I'm going, Nick, I'm right here with you. I got your mental. I'm right here. What are you doing? Tell us what you go through.
I go through the same routine I go through every day in practice. So a lot of it will start with conversations with my holder. We'll talk about the lean that I want on the ball, which helps with wind if we're in a tricky situation.
And this is before you run onto the field?
No, this is kind of when I'm out there. So
okay.
Before I'm out on the field, I'm in the net kicking a little bit. And then on third down, I'll get ready to go out, or if I know it's the end of the game, I'll kind of get ready. And then when we get out on the field, I'll ask Jake, hey, I'm thinking, you know, regular, large, extra large, whatever the hole might be. And he was like, yeah, I like it. Or maybe he'll say something, he'll feel something different. And then we have a quick 2-second conversation and we decide the hold. And then it's just go through my routine. And I have, you know, you can all watch my routine and 3 steps back. Line it up, 2 over, do my little backward thingy, get my body set in the right position, and then I give the nod to Jake and we go. And I mean, just one more kick. It's nothing more than that. I've done it a million times. So try to fall into your routine. I think that's a big thing a lot of young kids need to know is when you feel pressure, make sure you have a routine to kind of back it up, because then you can fall back on your routine when you have those moments, and just use your routine as a clutch.
And your last question for me, so the icing thing, when a guy's got that timeout to burn, invariably, you just expect to be iced? And how do you handle it?
I don't know if you expect it, because you can't expect it, because then you're not ready for that particular kick. So you got to be ready, and then if it happens, it happens. And you just kind of take a breath, recollect your thoughts, get back in, go through the same process. I try to go through the same thing again, like I just described, same thing with Jake, go through the same rhythm again or same routine and go from there. So, yeah, that's kind of my icing routine.
Nick, we will be going through that routine with you all season long. Thank you, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man. You know, it's never the same. Let's be honest. Koo was a Pro Bowler.
Who?
Younghoe Koo was in the mix, and then somebody stole his car up in Alpharetta, and it's just never the same. And he lost his magic shoes.
Wait a minute. Don't put that on. Was it Alpharetta or Buckhead?
It was Alpharetta. You sure? He got his car stolen at Avalon.
Because they took his shoes. Well, was it Alpharetta?
Avalon. Look it up, Joe. Was got it? His shoes stolen at Avalon. Man at the bar is nodding. He knows
Damn,
what happened.
I don't want to put that juju on my people
I
up
love
in Alpharetta.
Avalon. I love it. It's a wonderful place.
It's terrific. I live up there. What are you talking about?
I don't know
about?
Where he parked. I don't know how he had objects in his car. They always tell you not to have objects visible to someone do a smash and grab.
Yeah.
You know? But Younghoe Koo wasn't prepared to park, and he wasn't prepared to kick later.
Did he have those 26s on there, though? I mean, that's what I'm asking. What made his car a target? I'm curious.
It was a Grand Cherokee.
Oh, okay.
Very popular.
All right.
Off.
Man, look, we wish Koo the best. He's not even in the league right now, right? I don't think any team's picked him up.
The Giants missed kick, and we're just talking about this now, but when he missed that kick, when he basically stopped and whiffed, it was like Charlie Brown without Lucy pulling the football up. It's like you've never seen anything like that in the pro level.
Yeah.
And I don't wish him ill will. I mean, he made some money. He got a contract here with us. You know, remember that. He got a contract.
Oh, he did.
But unfortunately, it's just guys lose it. And, you know, Nick Folk, he was out of football for a year. Did, I guess, UFL or something. He got back in it.
Yep.
And so he's a guy that is, as we said, 12th highest points total of all time. And he's the leading active kicker right now in the league.
Yeah, look, I feel good simply because the confidence level he has is what you need as a kicker. It's not about the ability. If we called Matt Bryant right now, he could still hit field goals.
Right.
Okay? You do this your entire life, you can do it. It's the mental aspect where guys just start to fall off. And, Mike, that's why
and
I asked
the pressure
him about,
adds up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I asked him about that focus. And so I feel good about where we're at there. And obviously, look, Matt Ryan, Ian Cunningham, everybody in the front office knew we got to address this. The special teams was crap last year. So they've addressed it. We talked to him today. We've watched him again today, 6 for 6 in practice. Guys are kicking field goals every day. It's part of the special teams, you know, work that they do. And so from that standpoint, Mike, that's good. You know, Bailey, the punter.
Right.
He's booming punts at practice.
And Kanan was a good punter for us for years, but last year it was very acute. We talked about this last week. When you needed to flip the field, when you needed to pin the other team down, he was incapable. And then, worst case, midfield kick, and he shanks it.
Yeah,
you're setting somebody up at the 40-yard line. So that just manifested itself because special teams was an absolute, to your point, disaster. And to be honest, it hasn't been great for years for this team.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's better this year. Big shout-out to Nick Folk, and he's happy to be here. You see, a relationship's brought him here, though. Coaching staff, guys that he knew and he felt comfortable wanting to be here. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into, including what did Matthew Bergeron have to say about his new contract? Think about our O-line, guys, and I'm going to share something with you when we come back. He joined Andy and Randy, 4 years, $96 million extension, $60 million guaranteed for Matthew Bergeron.
And my brother, less than 3 hours to go to Major League Baseball's trade deadline. Where's the beef?
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We will tell you more about what went down day 5 of training camp, first day of full pads for our Falcons. And coming up, we'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind. Mike, before we get into what Matthew Bergeron had to say with Andy and Randy today, maybe he knew what he was doing. When you think about all the guys that the Falcons have locked up over the last year, year and a half, whatever it's been, even going into the Bijan deal.
Right.
They're all Arthur Smith guys. Matthew Bergeron was drafted by Arthur Smith. Bijan, Drake. Think about it. Pitts, right. Who we all complained about because it was a tight end who went way higher than we thought.
And we believe, and you and I have talked about this at length, nobody ever wanted to own it. Like everything else with this team, like Deshaun Watson. But we thought it was Arthur Smith who wanted Pitts.
It was.
We didn't
and then
play
later
defense.
On, and then Arthur Smith later on kind of complaining about Pitts.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
On the air too much.
That's a convenient narrative.
Well, I'm just telling you how it went into my perception of it.
But look, he had a legitimate reason because we weren't getting the production right out of him that we thought we would. I say all that to say, though, all these guys, the projection to say, I think nobody had Matthew Bergeron on their bingo card, okay? And when we talked to him about it, he was saying, like, kid's coming out of Syracuse, he's got versatility, and I remember having this conversation with him. And I just said, Mike, it's interesting. All the guys we're locking up, the core guys, are Arthur Smith guys, which right. means this was the direction in which he saw the offense going. Now, he never got a chance to see it play out.
Right.
But the players he got were right. Because you're paying them,
and
they've been durable.
You picked the right guys.
Yes.
I mean, like, we can go back and look, you know, at the Fontenot draft class, and it was a mixed bag. He didn't really get defense right till his last draft, and he really did get it right. You know, I mean, but in the case of Matthew Bergeron, that's a great pick. That's a third round pick, still top 75. So you're expected to get performance out of a top 75 pick. But he's been super reliable.
Yeah, he's exceeded.
Everything we said last hour, he fits that old school. Talk about a guy who's he's got the personality. He plays with edge. You know, he's a wise ass. I love him.
I do too. And so with that, here's the midday guys, Andy and Randy, because they asked Matthew Bergeron, did he know that he was going to get a new deal or a new contract at the start of camp?
No, I kind of, going into camp, I kind of knew it was kind of going on. And like I was saying in there with media, I mean, the process has just been smooth, to be honest. Like, the communication between Matt, Ian, and my peoples was great. You know, there was no hiccups at all, and it was very professional. And so, yeah, I wasn't, you know, kind of in between, didn't really know what was going on. Like, they were super, up front. And, yeah, so process might have lasted a couple of days, and yeah, we got it done, and now, you know, today's back to practicing, you know, today's back to work, so
yeah, sure.
You gotta keep the main thing, but like, right. Yeah, as far as like the process is very smooth.
It has to, you get a contract extension, especially, you know, a sizable one, obviously,
yeah.
It feels good, but like, with the new regime, from our standpoint, there's always mystery as far
right.
as, it's a whole new group, new general manager, new coach, mm-hmm. who knows what they're going to like and value and what they're inheriting and all that. It's got to feel pretty validating to have an entirely new group immediately be like, yeah, this is one of the guys that right. we need around long term.
No, I mean, it's been awesome. And just the trust that they have in me, obviously, you know, when they first came in, I had to earn their trust. And, you know, they had to see me working OTAs and stuff like that. So it's just great to know that they appreciate my work and the way I approach the game. And also the way I, you know, handle myself with my teammates and stuff like that. So it's just awesome to see. And, like, I don't take that lightly. You know, obviously, like, now I got to take, like, more ownership on, you know, what I do and how I approach it, and kind of step more in a leader way for the team, and just kind of, you know, super grateful to be a foundational piece for what we're trying to build here in Atlanta.
Obviously, Coach Callahan, I mean, is regarded as one of the best.
Yeah,
coaches.
Yeah.
So how's it been with him so far? I mean, right. You know, you're still a young player, but you're a big vet status
now.
how's that been with learning from him?
I mean, it's been awesome. You know, Coach Callahan is very technical, very detailed, and just being able to go up to him and ask him any question about anything, and he'll have an example, a clip, and an answer, you know. So it's just good to have him around as a resource. And obviously, you know, we already kind of see the strides and the improvement, you know, going. So it's been awesome working with Bill, and, you know, we've developed a great relationship. So it's just great.
Falcons offensive lineman Matthew Bergeron joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And we asked Chris Lindstrom this last week.
Yeah.
We're not trying to get anybody in trouble, mm-hmm. reveal secrets, X's and O's and stuff. But we know things are different with the new offensive staff and new plays and, you know, different ideas.
Yeah.
Without revealing stuff that's going to get you in trouble, what is going to be different about your job this year with this new offensive staff?
I mean, I think we're just going to be more diverse. You know, I think that's the main thing. And, you know, and everything we do is going to be more diverse. And I think we're, you know, teams and fans are going to see stuff that we haven't done before. And I think it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be able to kind of, you know, let us do different stuff on offense and, you know, kind of highlight some of, you know, different stuff that we haven't done before as far as offense-wise. So I'm very excited for that, and I'm sure it's going to be helpful to our run game and also in pass protection-wise. So very excited for that, and hopefully it's for the best, you know. But, yeah, it's been awesome kind of, you know, doing different stuff and kind of highlighting my different abilities as well.
Has it been, I won't say difficult, because you still got to go there and do your job, like you're saying. But without the whole quarterback thing that's going on, because we know that Michael was his thing, and then Tua, and obviously you got Jack and these other young players. Has it been any different for y'all up front with not knowing who's going to be that guy yet?
I mean, to be honest, no. They've done a good job of just the communication's been awesome, you know, and they've done an awesome job of just kind of keeping it the same, honestly. Like, sometimes I don't even realize who's out there because,
right.
You know, Jack has done an awesome job. To be honest, for a rookie to do what he's doing right now, like, people don't quite understand how hard it is. Yeah. And, yeah, so I was, you know, very happy for him, and he's done an awesome job, so, yeah.
You'll be going into year four,
yeah.
Right? You've played, I think, 49 of 51, so really
yeah.
healthy.
Yeah.
You played next to Jake Matthews every single one of those games,
yeah.
because he plays every game.
Right.
And now with this contract extension, maybe at some point in a few years from now, you'll be playing next to somebody.
Right.
But not this, not somebody different, not
right.
this year. From when you came in to now, is there anything noticeably different about Jake Matthews, or is he just defying age? And
I don't know what he's doing or what he got, whatever secret he got, but he nothing has changed, you know. Like, and you know, you talk about maybe one day I'll play next to somebody. I honestly, Jake might outlast me. You know that's,
you know?
Just how detailed he is about his body and his recovery process. So honestly, yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine myself playing next to somebody else, honestly, because he's been great, and also he's done an awesome job kind of taking me under his wing when I was kind of a younger player, and just kind of showed me the routine and how he approaches the game. It kind of motivated me to kind of be better, and hopefully I can have that same impact to the younger guys as well. So it's just been awesome.
One more for me, so we can get you out this son.
Yeah.
Every time we hit the whoop, 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 hold up, stop.
Yeah.
I look around, there's 65.
Yeah.
You're
always
into something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that someone that, like, I want this smoke all the time?
No, I mean, it's not even that. I think it's just, you know, just being competitive, and also, like, I like, you know, picking the running back up. I like to make sure they're good because obviously they put their body on the line.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm very, 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 like, kind of careful about that. Like, I want to be there for my teammates. You know, whenever Kyle catches a pass and he goes down, like, I'm the first one to be there. Whenever Mike gets knocked down, like, I just want to be first one there to make sure they're good and kind of get back to work, you know, because those guys on offense, also on defense, like,
right.
those guys, like, they mean the world to me. So I just want to make sure be there for them.
Oh, 60 minutes. There he is again. He's in another one.
First day in pads today?
Yeah.
Probably, I know you like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. You know, I think we got to work. You know, there was no hiccups or whatever. I think, you know, this year everybody's kind of very, very focused. You know, we're very process-driven. That's something Coach Stefanski has been preaching to us. So, like, everybody's kind of focused about their work, and we're there for each other. And I think it's just awesome just being able to work and competing without that extra stuff. It's definitely great. So we've been doing a good job.
I know you're here now, focused, worked, obviously new contract, which is awesome. We talked to Lindstrom last week. He said he went to Scotland in the offseason, did
yeah.
some fun. Did you do anything fun?
I mean, I was in California. I was in California for the whole offseason. Got to go to a few World Cup games.
Oh, nice.
Two
nice.
In Atlanta, one in California, and I got to see Canada win against South Africa.
There
so
you
that
go.
Was – That was a dope experience, just being able to see those stadiums packed out, and those hockey fans, man, they're relentless. They're awesome. So it was a great experience. And also being able to experience the Mercedes-Benz as a fan, you know, I'm
right.
always down there just being able to finally, you know, bring $20 and I got a full plate of food, you know, kind of experienced that, a couple beers. So it was awesome. And I got to, and now I understand why it's one of the best venues in the U.S. Like, the stadium is just dope.
There's no beating the prices
yeah,
at
no
Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
No
There's no
great.
Doubt about that. Matthew, thank you.
Appreciate it, my boy.
You guys. Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day,
man.
Yeah, man. Andy and Randy with Matthew Bergeron, and my dog Randy is right. Bergeron is a blank starter. He's always
yep.
out there causing problems, talking noise, but he can back it up. And that's part of this is like we were talking to somebody last year, and we were like, hey, maybe it was Lindstrom. And we were like, hey, who talks out there? He's like, Bergeron.
We joked around with Jake. Yeah, and he, to me, that's what I said to you earlier, like the Tyson Claybos and who was it? Harvey Dahl. The phrase back then, Carl, was the Falcon line plays to the echo of the whistle.
It's true.
You know, getting it in. He's swinging on cuz. You've got to have that physicality. He's that kind of guy.
Football coverage on 92.9 The Game presented by Xfinity, guys. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price. 5 years. Guaranteed Xfinity. Imagine that. We're coming back. We'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind. Coming up also, we'll get you caught up on the latest with the trade deadline. You wonder what the Braves have done?
Yeah, what have we done?
Well, good
Where
question.
Are we going?
Good question.
Where's the beef?
Good question.
Where's the starting pitching?
Good question. And another good question. We're going to answer all of that for you and where they may be going before 6 o'clock. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're hanging out at the Taj Mahal Hooters, guys. That's what we call it. It's the Hooters at Mall of Georgia here in Buford. And, Mike, I got to tell you guys, off air, Mike has been going as hard off air as he has been on air when it comes to the Braves today. Just not satisfied with what's happened.
No, I just – and I'm dealing with a lot of folks that I don't know what planet you're on. I'm on planet winner.
Mike
You're on
Bell.
Planet loser. No, and it's just, I don't know. Day-Day, I know you preach patience, but when you are 8 games in first place and you've overcome adversity, shown the ability to be able to produce runs in the clutch and find ways to win, you know, while Mike, overworking your bullpen.
Are you saying there are other people today that are...
Yeah, no, it's just it's
saying
like,
that everything's
you know,
fine.
It's like so. Here's what the Braves, some not all, not you, because you listen to Dukes and Bell. You're a winner. I'm talking about the other Braves fans, the loser ones. That you know, the mindset is, you know, just because you have the most money doesn't mean you're going to win everything.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
but I tell you what, having Chris Sale and nobody else to pitch means you're probably not going to win anything either. Okay, and the thing is, Alex, and this is the first time I've really been disappointed with Alex because I've always felt that Terry McGurk and the jerks that own the Braves don't let him spend the money like he needs to. But he may just be philosophically opposed to ever giving big money to starting pitchers, and I think that's also two things could be true. But, I mean, you said it was a priority in the offseason and then did nothing to address it. And we knew that three-fifths of your rotation were going to be guys coming back from injury, you know? And that's not going to get it done. By the way, our mojitos are here. Hi. Thanks, Riley. No, I mean, very unmanly. But, hey, you know what? Technically, you should only drink a mojito when you're near a body of water. But Lake Lanier is up the road.
No, this is true. They got all these mixed drinks here at Hooters. And Riley said it's very refreshing. So yeah. She brought us
some. So's Riley.
She brought us some. All right, with that, man.
So, by the way, Data, you're not going to have a mojito with your boys?
No. He's gonna have a high noon. That's what he's going to. Isn't that your drink, bro? High noon?
I mean, this is a pretty soft drink.
I didn't say it wasn't.
I don't even know what's in it. What is it, rum?
Mojito,
rum?
Yeah.
Rum?
Mojito,
all right. Yeah. That's been, I haven't had one. All right, let's
find out. So the worst scenes in that Miami Vice movie. Oh. She asked the drug lord's girlfriend, she asked Colin Farrell, what do you like to drink? Oh, I'm a fiend for mojitos. Who says that?
Nobody.
A homicide detective's going to say that.
Flavored
like I'm a vice. Oh, I'm a fiend
yes,
for.
It's supposed to be.
Remember in the theater, like, did he just say I'm a fiend for mojitos?
Nobody says that.
I'm a fiend for mojitos. Let's get in the boat and we'll go to Havana. You know, it just struck me as odd. Anyway, over to you, Day-Day. What's on Day-Day's mind?
Yeah, what is on your mind?
Well, you know, hopefully everyone had a great weekend. It started off really well. I actually went to the Braves game Friday night.
Okay.
Right
and
on.
The Friday win. Man,
they swept the Nats.
Yep, man, that home run by Michael Harris, it just launched into the chop house. Like, where we were sitting, if you're facing the outfield, we were sitting to the right of the chop house. And to see that thing just into there, it was just like – but I understand you guys' frustration with the pitching, but I will say I am impressed with how the offense has been able to kind of turn things around.
Right. Matt Olson's
late.
A machine.
Yeah, Matt – what, 3 home runs in 3 days,
right, yes.
I want to say? So, yeah. You know.
Acuna's heating up, too.
Yep, he's – and Riley did well over the weekend. So, I mean – We'll see. We still got, what, an hour and, no, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
That's
so
correct.
We'll see if an arm comes in here. So first off, really want to start off with this and say thoughts and prayers to the family of Buck Godfrey, legendary high school football coach and father of good friend Rashan Ali.
Yes.
Many of you know her, her time on the radio over the years here in Atlanta, but her father, big-time legendary coach at Southwest Decab, passed away at the age of 83, won 274 games. He coached Southwest Decab from 1983 to 2012. He's won more games than any other coach in DeKalb County. He's currently 16th in all-time wins in GHSA, and he led Southwest Decab to a state title in 95, and they had five semifinal appearances. So just wanted to throw that out there because
that's excellence,
he,
man.
Yeah, he when I got here in 1992, and there was Southwest DeKalb on the east side and between Mays and Douglas on the west side. Those were the, you know, the schools, the predominantly black high schools that were the talk of the town. And so, I mean, obviously Quincy Carter, he coached Quincy Carter. And so, and then I've known Rashan for years, her and my old roommate used to work together over at LaFace Records, and so I've known her for a very long time, and then obviously got to work with her for years in radio. So just wanted to send some condolences out to that entire her and her family and that entire Southwest DeKalb in the DeKalb County community.
Legend,
so,
man.
Yeah, man. Don't look now, guys. Atlanta Dream.
What's going on with the Dream?
They've won five in a row after their win on Friday night.
I'm going to put my head down. You let me know when you're done talking about WNBA. So after the Barbie came out, this kind of popped off.
They kind of, they've been rolling. So five straight, they've kind of crept back up in the standings because they had went on the West Coast and dropped like five in a row, dropped down to like seventh in the standings. Now they're back and forth, but they got the Las Vegas Aces in town tonight.
Oh, State you Farm know what Arena. Happens when they play the Aces.
Well, tell us,
Mike. A lot of missed shots.
Anyway, so thought I figured you'd have some good insight on that.
The way he said that, like he knew. You know what happens when they play the Aces? I was like, oh, hell, Bell's got some insight.
Rebound, miss,
and another basket.
Well, listen, they kicked off the season with the Aces, and that game was a really good game.
Yeah, it was.
Packed out house at State Farm Arena. So I think the fans will be in for a treat. A lot of people were saying that the Aces are – the Dream are kind of catching them at a bad time because the Aces lost over the weekend to arguably the worst team in the WNBA, and so now they're going to come in motivated to prove that, you know, that game was just kind of a fluke or whatever. But I just think we've got –
This is the best – and I'm speaking here, guys, that called Dream games in years past, and but this is our best team. This is the best team we've had here.
Yes.
And they have a real shot. So to your point, like you're playing a legitimate title contender and champion. And
yes.
It'll be good.
Yep. Last week reported that our guy DeAndre Hopkins was at Georgia Tech. Well, not too long after we left here, it was announced he got hired as the wide receivers coach or assistant wide receivers coach. So congratulations to him.
How big is that, man?
I think he'd be great for recruiting.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, these guys do know who D-Hop is. I mean, I would think they know who D-Hop is. Yeah. But, again, great resource to have, and certainly for Brent Key, and help in recruiting. And also just purely the technical stuff, because he's been exploring this option. He was visiting with Vrabel and the Patriots to get a feel for some of how the coaching work, and now he gets a job with Tech.
Yeah, man. So good job for Brent Key, and then Brent continues to, you know, do the things that you want to see from a program like Georgia Tech.
Sure.
To be in that conversation of CFP and, you know, ACC championships, because I think that's next, right? You got to get this ACC championship under the belt and then, you know, potentially be one of the teams that get into, what is it? We're still at 12, right?
Right.
We're still at 12.
Yeah, we are. We are. Did you see the tweet that the post he put out about if you want to be a great wide receiver?
And I can
just hear him saying that. D-Hop has always been a guy with like enormous confidence, but I can just hear him saying it in his voice. You want to be a great receiver? Come to Georgia Tech. And I just started laughing. But, hey, if it gets some more run, it gets kids more interested, so be it, man.
Yeah, man. All right, told you the weekend started off good going to the Braves game. Well, it almost kind of didn't end on a good note.
What happened?
So you guys know, Spider-Man Brand New Day dropped this weekend.
Huge,
right?
Great reviews.
Huge weekend, man.
Carl,
how many leather helmets? Five is perfect.
Well, I didn't see it because it was sold out.
Oh,
I'm going to go this next weekend if I'm able.
Thought you were going.
But –
they made more money this opening weekend than any game made.
Yes.
So it's the biggest opening of any Marvel so far.
Yeah.
So it's doing great. Go ahead.
So me and the boys, we get tickets and head out to the theater on Saturday to go see it. And we're about an hour into the movie. And then all of a sudden, there's a flashlight. And then a man and a voice. And he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, we need everyone to exit the theater immediately." And
man,
at first,
I'm thinking,
okay, this is a joke. But why are you guys doing the joke so early? The movie's not over. And the reason I said that, because when the original Spider-Man came out with Tobey Maguire, I can't remember if it was the second or third, but we were doing a movie premiere at Phipps Plaza.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, ushers and security came in. We're like, "Hey, y'all got to clear the theater." And we're thinking same thing. Oh, is this some kind of joke? Oh, y'all going to bring Spider-Man in? He's going to save us, right? Ha, ha, ha. No, there was a shooting in the parking lot, and everyone that parked on that side of the mall had to leave their cars there. So I'm having, like, flashbacks there's no way this is happening to me again, right?
Yeah.
Lo and behold, we get out of the theater, and thousands of people are standing outside because the theater was at a mall.
Okay.
The entire mall, theater, everything around the area had been evacuated because someone decided it'd be cool to call in a bomb threat.
What? Are you kidding me? What kind of a loser would do that?
Yeah, called in a bomb threat. They had to evacuate the entire area, and I'm sitting there. I get home. So I'm like, okay, there better be a real bomb. Because
how far in the movie were you?
We were about an hour in.
Oh.
Are you serious?
It's just getting good.
That's like my old man's line when there's traffic. Somebody better be dead up there. Sorry, that's a horrible thing to say. But I'm just saying, driving with my father on road trips, I swear, somebody better be dead up there. Thanks, Dad.
So anyway,
so you really wanted an earth-shattering kaboom when you left the theater?
I better hear an explosion when I get on 20. So
there was no bomb?
No. We looked it up the next day. Man. All accounts, they didn't say anything
about
finding
anything. So what
do you think
happened? Somebody lost his girl. He knows she was going on a date to that movie.
I don't know.
He called it a bomb threat?
I think it was just someone just didn't have anything to do. Thought it would be cool to clear out the mall. You can think about it, Mike. It's a mall day before school. Back to school shopping.
Oh, what a jerk move.
It was packed.
Yeah. What a loser. Especially that's the same kind of loser who doesn't think the Braves should make any big moves at the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's awful, man. I got to be honest, though. First thing I would have been worried about is my refund.
Yes.
Okay.
So what's the protocol?
Second thing is rain check.
Right.
Third thing is I want my money back for these damn concessions I paid for.
You ate the popcorn.
Huh?
They don't know that. They said I had to leave. I might have just put my popcorn down.
Absolutely right.
I might have just put my
popcorn
down.
Yeah, but who keeps your receipt for a slushie and a
exactly.
popcorn?
Exactly. Well, to your point, two of three, Carl, they gave us a refund.
All right.
They gave us vouchers to go see a movie again we got like up to a year
at your
and a half at our choice.
Okay.
But the concession money, they were like, "You ain't got your receipt." I was like, "No." They was like, "Well, then you ain't getting that money."
Oh, wow.
So not bad.
Not
too bad. But, man, can you
imagine? How frustrating is that?
Very. Because when I got home, my wife was like, "Oh, my God, you're really mad." And I was like, "Yes."
Because you're ruining my day.
Well, here's the thing.
Come on.
Two of the kids started school today. So we can't go this week. I got to wait an entire. We work in an industry where I got to scroll social media. So now I got to. Anytime I see something like Spider-Man or Marvel, I got to keep it moving because I don't want no spoilers.
That's a unique experience. I've never seen that.
So I got half the movie.
I remember when New Jack City came out and there were fights breaking out. This is New York City.
Uh-huh.
And it was gunplay and it was just people were amped up and it was a crazy couple of weeks when that movie debuted.
Right.
And everybody had to see it. And there were some situations where the house lights came on and the popo got called. It was like it was a thing. None of the nights I attended, but I mean
right.
but it was that kind of thing.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it just sucks cuz
I got
half the movie in my head now and I'm like, I got to wait an entire week to find out how all this plays out.
Yeah,
so,
that's tough,
so
bro.
Now you know what's going to be on my mind all week.
Well, and we need to say this. I'm glad everybody's safe. Nobody got hurt.
Yes, all jokes aside.
But I hope they find the clown. I mean, I hope this is somehow traceable to however they do those things, the investigators. Because that's just not cool, man.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Man. So that's it, man. That's what's on my mind.
Wow. Yeah, because do you have like the Fandango app so there's somebody that can contact you so you will get your refund and everything?
Oh, well, no. They refunded us the tickets and gave us vouchers. I just won't be able to get that money back for the concessions.
Yeah.
That's all.
You mean the $70 on popcorn and drinks?
Yeah, it was
$70. Oh, I already know.
Yeah, am I the only one? When you sit there over the butter, you know, when you take that giant bucket over there, the self-serve butter, are you over there for 5 minutes like I am? Literally, it's like... I mean,
you got to layer it, Mike. That's what you got to do. Yeah. You got to put the popcorn in one.
That's
and
what
the layer
my kids. Yeah, my kids. They'll tell them, I'll fill it up halfway. I'll be right back. Yeah. And they go put the butter on, and then they go get more, and then put butter on top. Yeah.
There's no way you can try at home, but there's no way to replicate that. That popcorn.
No.
Movie popcorn butter.
They do. Yeah, with the butter. You know, with the bags in the microwave. But it's just not the same.
Nah, it's not the same.
It's good, but it's not the same. All right, Day-Day, man. Sorry about that, bro.
It's all good.
Oh, man, I would have been
just got to wait a whole week.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. All right, man. We are live at Hooters, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. We got a lot more to dive into. What have the Braves done so far?
What's going on? I got a whole lot of nothing so far.
Okay.
Mediocrity.
They got an outfielder. They got a pitcher.
He's okay. I like him.
And they got a bullpen piece. Okay? Is that enough?
How about a name that you could recognize?
Alex has 2 hours left to maybe do another deal, and there are rumors out there that they're still chasing another pitcher. We're going to see. We'll tell you all about it next.
What do you like to drink?
I'm a fiend for mojitos.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.